Hello, it's Shahid and welcome back. Awards show is open, as you already know, and the second deadline is this Friday, the 22nd of March, so not long to go now. Welcome back to Agency Tales. This is episode 3. I've got so many episodes just coming in. I will keep dropping these as long as you want them. So if you'd like to contribute a story, you can do a recording yourself or you can jump on a call with me. Just email us at awards@thecreativefloor.com. If you've heard the last two episodes, you'll know what I'm about to say. We do not condone any of these stories. If you are easily offended, turn off now. Thank you to everyone who contributed to this episode. All names and details are going to be in the show notes. Enjoy.
So he'd send us down, the creative director would send us down to his holiday home in Whitstable, and we'd kind of, you know, we'd brainstorm a brand and he'd invite the client down. And I was the only one with a driving license. So he lent me his massive Mercedes 4x4, and it was my job to drive everyone around, you know, when we were going out to eat and stuff. And I managed to reverse his Mercedes 4x4 into a Mercedes sports car at traffic lights in Whitstable, because the thing was so fucking high and the sports car was so fucking low, I couldn't see it. He was right up my arse, and I had to fucking explain that to him as well. Oh dear God, he just didn't really like us at all.
So we were a young team and we were employed at time as very sort of mature agency, doing really, really, really good work, but very sort of grown up work. And I think they saw in me and an opportunity to sort of do some more sort of youthful, more edgy kind of stuff. And so we really, that's why we were employed, and we really took that in to heart. We were obsessed by making good work, but we were also interested in making people laugh and sometimes coming sort of close to the bone. We didn't mind that at all. And so we'd had sort of a fairly sort of successful run of doing some good stuff on sort of brands you wouldn't expect good work to be done on. And we thought, right, now it's our turn to, you know, have a little go at Guinness or have a little go at Economist. But we got a knock on the door, and instead it was the Caniston team. And they wanted us to do an ad for Caniston Once, which is a thrush cream that presumably you only need to apply once. And we're like, what? Why are you giving this to us? Like, you know, you've seen the work that we do. You know, we'd literally just done an ad for WH Smith for a promotion on the Hannibal Lecter books. And it was about eating. So our ad was about eating somebody. Like, we had three people lined up. We had a smaller person, a sort of medium size, a woman who was a bit taller, and a man who was taller still from behind. And we'd photographed them sort of through, we had a vignette on it as though somebody was looking at them. And it was like, see the world through Hannibal's eyes. And it was Hannibal 899 or something, or, you know. And above each person was starter for the small guy, main for the woman, and dessert for the guy, or something like that, you know. Basically, it was an ad about being a fucking cannibal.
Yeah.
And W.A. Smith ran it. It's amazing. All right, we've just done this. Why are you giving us Caniston? So, you know, we had no choice in the matter. So we said, look, we're just going to really do something funny and good. And, you know, if they buy it, great. We've done something good. If they don't, you know, they will never come back to us ever again. So we're thinking away, and then we're going, oh, you know, like researching thrush. And then we thought, well, if we draw a bush, right, and then set it on fire, and then just have the words burning bush, and then just do Caniston Once, you know, it's on the packaging. The packaging answers the visual. We're like, oh, that's, we like that. Let's go and show the creative directors. And the creative directors are like, oh, that's really fucking good, that is. It's brilliant. It's like refreshing for the category. And so they call the account team up. And the account team come up and go, no fucking way. There's no way. And the creative directors are like, look, it's brilliant. Look, we're telling you, just go and present it. So sort of head in hands, they sort of walk out the door, go down to Caniston, wherever it is, some business park in Slough. And then like a few hours later, they come back and they say that was a disaster. They hated it. They said, if you ever present anything like that again, we're going to put you on notice. You're going to lose the account. But the account team said to us, you've got to work on it again. You've got to go again. Like, what the fuck? Do you know, what do you think we're going to do? We're not going to suddenly do what you want, because what you want is just invisible shit, right? So we're sort of thinking it through, and I'm just sort of like, I sort of had this idea about a beat, like a swimming beat. Like, I wonder if like the saint on YouTube, right? So I'm looking and I find this image of this video of a beaver. It swims down, swims downstream, gets out and starts itching itself against a tree. I thought, that's brilliant. Itchy beaver, Caniston once. So we fucking hell. So we present this to the ECDs again. The creative directors. And they were like, this is fucking brilliant. This is better than the burning bush. Gonna get the account team up. The account team come in expecting, you know, some sort of, I don't know, heartfelt, insightful piece of work. And they're shown the itchy beaver and they're like, you're joking. It's, seriously, there's no way we can go and present this. And the creative directors are like, you've got to, it's brilliant. We need to change this category, you know. We need to make it fun, you know, like, we think that women might like it. They're bored of being condescended to, or violent. There's loads of, you know, Nick Worthington always used to say to me, if you're doing a car ad in a car magazine, do a banana, because it just kind of stands out, you know. And so we had all this stuff to give to the account team, and they were forced to go and present it. And yeah, they came back and they said, yeah, we've been put on notice. Basically, Caniston don't want anything to do with the agency anymore. And I used to tell that story a lot, just because, like, the work you do is the work you will do, right? So if you only ever do work that you like and you're proud of, that's the work that you'll make, right? So the creative directors were really happy with us, and they were our bosses, so, you know, we'd done our job. So yeah, you know, like, you can argue the pluses and minuses of, you know, using beaver and bush, but essence, that is a story about just being a bit bloody minded, and just, you know, we never got the can, you know, I think we sort of saved the account, but we never got a Caniston brief ever again.
This is a shout out for a friend of the show, The Power of Advertising. The platform shares award-winning creative and director Steve Hudson's 25 years experience in the ad game, where he breaks down the creative process on his most famous work, find out why it was bought by the client, how it was bought by the client, as well as tips and advice on how to be a better creative. Do yourself a favor and check out thepowerofadvertising.com. We'll add the link in the show notes as well. Second shout out is for our working from home candles. The final batch are here. Only 100 of each scent have been made in the world, never to be repeated again. All are handmade, hand-pulled, hand-signed. All profits go towards our talent and diversity fund, whether it's our pitch win scent, our out-of-office scent, the all-nighter scent, or even sans bullshit scent. They will help you thrive the 9-to-5. exclusively available on thecreativefloor.com/awards. If you would like a shout out for any open roles in your agency, even if you're out of work and you're looking to get into the ears of somebody who might be able to give you a job, just get in touch with us and we'll happily share your shout out on the next podcast.
Okay, well, I think one story I do remember is when working at Palin Waters as the head of art. So this would have been in the early noughties, I think. So Frank had a friend who was a wine merchant. So this friend Frank's came into our creative department after hours, wanting us to design his new wine brochure, pretty much as a favour for him, actually. With the front cover image being a studio shot of a rather lovely bottle of Chateau Lafite Rothschild, I think from the 70s. So I believe he paid about £700 or £800 for this bottle of wine that I think retailed at the time in restaurants for over a grand. So it's a special bottle of wine. But he was prepared to open it for us if we took some digital photos that would ultimately become the front cover of his brochure. So I got one of the art directors to set up the shot. This guy then poured the wine into a glass and we took loads of digital photos from different angles, different lighting, over the course of about 2 hours. So after this guy, after we'd finished, actually, he then showed us what to look for when drinking expensive wines. And we actually got to sample this rather lovely expensive wine, and we drank it all together in the creative department. And I do remember it was a really good wine, and also actually refer back to this experience every now and again when sampling wine. I've never had anything to equal it since. It was amazing. Anyway, he left shortly after the photos were taken, knowing the images were in the bag and we had everything we needed to create his brochure. So I asked the art director to download the images and then we could all disappear home for the night. So it was then that the art director told me he hadn't managed to capture any of the images. The camera hadn't actually recorded them. So it was the early days of digital cameras. So we didn't have any of the photos to show for 2 hours of his time. So we panicked slightly, as we had just consumed this £700 bottle of red, and this guy, who will remain nameless, left happily knowing we had sorted his brochure on the cheap, proudly thinking he had his expensive wine beautifully photographed for the front cover, which unfortunately he didn't. Thankfully he left us with the empty bottle. So we then sent the art director around to Tesco's to buy a £6 bottle of red. Because this guy had actually shown us what to look for, we retook the images using the Tesco wine in the Chateau Lafite bottle and retouched it in the glass to look like his £700 bottle of red. So to this day, he still doesn't know the wine on the front cover of his brochure is a Tesco's cheapie and not the Chateau Lafite Rothschild that he bought into the creative department.
Every little helps.
Absolutely it does. It was a really good bottle of red, I have to say. I've never drunk anything like it.
There was a period where I was obsessed with getting in every TV commercial that I'd ever done, right? So I'm in the background of a whole bunch of them. But we were doing something for Dragon's Den. We were doing a programme trail for BBC for Dragon's Den. And I said to the director, look, can I get in this? And he was like, yeah, sure. And we were doing this thing like it was a knight and he was leaving his wife. And he gets on horseback, and then we were sort of inspired by Lord of the Rings. So we did these sweeping helicopter shots of him going through various terrains on this quest. And then he visits the dragon, but instead of slaying it, he's got like this really shit invention that he's trying to sell, just in the way, you know, mirroring the show where you go up in front of the dragons and try and sell your big idea. And then you just see this fire burn out of the cave and he runs out. But the director, like, we were in Latvia or somewhere like that, and the director had found this old barn, and there was like this pair of knitted tights like he found in the barn, and he said, like, if you put these knitted tights on and go topless and we'll put you in hair and makeup and give you a big sort of hairy wig, you can be just like a kind of feudal farmer, like digging hay in the background. I'm like, do you know what? I'm up for that. I'm going to do it. So I like, I'm putting these tights on and they've got spiders in them and fucking ticks. And also, I don't know what it is. I was getting bit. They were scratching and I was getting bitten. And then like I was in hair and makeup for like an hour whilst they put this wig and like pulling it, what little hair I've actually got, sort of weaving this thing on, like, and I'm thinking, and there's makeup, and I'm thinking, this is going to be a close-up, you know, the amount of time they're spending doing all this stuff. Like, this is going to be my moment. And then he gives me this pitchfork and sets me to work, like, right, I want you to show me your digging style. So I'm like, I'm digging hay, or forking hay, or whatever the fuck you call it. And then, camera's rolling, and then fuck me, if you were to pause the image, I'm about 2 pixels high in the background of this thing. Not my big breakthrough, but it's just, sets are just so, like, shoots are just such, you know, it's just amazing to be on shoots with all these creative people, you know, these directors and DOPs and writers and art directors and photographers, and it's just so much fun that, you know, there's quite a lot of downtime. So I did find myself just doing all sorts of things just to sort of keep myself occupied, really, and just being a general Burke, really.
There was like a global conference in, I think it was in Rome. It was in Rome, yeah. And he invited us, all of us, from this little project that he set up. He invited us to attend. And again, I think he was like showcasing that be young and funky and, you know, a little bit of swaggering in front of the other creative directors, I guess. Look what we're doing. So we went there, and I had put my, I suffer terribly with a bad back. I've spent like my lifetime either looking under a fringe, I was a goth when I was younger, or hunched over a keyboard. So I've got copywriter's lower back. And it was touch and go whether I could make it on the plane. I was in a lot of pain. And so we got to the hotel, which was this kind of bizarre boarding house. You know, they were all staying in like some 5-star luxury, you know, 7 swimming pool complex, and we were staying in some kind of like rundown flea pit on the edge of town. And the day we got there, I was like limping, lifts were broken, had to carry the suitcase up the stairs, and I was grey, just grey with pain. And I said to my partner, Finchie, I said, Joe, I really hate to ask this, but can you do me a massive favour? You know, can you just give my back a rub? Can you give me a little bit of a massage? I know that's above and beyond the kind of creative partnership, like, remit, but please, you know. And like, he could see that I was really suffering. So I kind of straddled the bed. I pulled my pants down to just the top of my bum cheeks, like nothing too revealing showing, lifted my top up, and I had this tube of deep heat. And bless Finchie, he squirted deep heat in and he started like rubbing my back. And it was good, man. I was in such pain. I was groaning. Just sheer relief. And we didn't really clock it at the time, but the whole room was kind of lined with these wooden Venetian blinds, which were shut. And as I'm kind of straddling with my arse sticking out from the side of this bed, and he's like behind me, you know, rubbing my back with deep heat. Suddenly there's a gust of wind, and one of these Venetian blinds just swings open, and on the other side is an Italian workman with a wheelbarrow, and he's just stopped and looked, and we stopped and looked. I like looked over my shoulder, and he had this fag dangling, like a roll-up dangling on his bottom lip, and he just went, and then the Venetian blind just swung back closed again. Oh dear. Yes. So it was a tough start to advertising, Shahid. What can I say? It went all downhill from there.
The only other thing that comes to mind is we did a shoot with the Loch Ness Monster in Loch Lomond, not Loch Ness, because it's more accessible, closer to Glasgow. Again, this was for SMTV Live and sort of iDents. So it was basically SMTV Live, sponsored by Monster Munch. And our premise was like the Loch Ness Monster would go around stealing people's crisps. And so we made this suit, and it was pretty realistic. And then in the downtime, we just decided to get the two actors in the suit to go around shitting up real people and like jumping out on them and just being a general kind of nuisance. And I think we got the guys to go into the water. So it was just like the classic kind of, you could see the curls of this kind of snake, serpentine like Loch Ness Monster. And yeah, just sort of wandering around, just seeing if people would notice and shitting them up and making them jump. And then we made the local newspaper. Basically, there's something like there's a monster in Loch Lomond as well as Loch Ness, some shit like that. But anyway, I think I have had the privilege of being around lots of people with a great sense of humour and a great sort of entrepreneurial spirit, and I hope to sort of still surround myself with those people, because it's just, I like people who make you laugh and just do stupid things. Because, you know, what's the point otherwise? It's like, take your work seriously, but don't take yourself seriously.
Thank you so much for listening. Do hit subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss the next episode as soon as it drops. If you have a spare 10 seconds, well, even if you don't have a spare 10 seconds, please do write us a review. Good one, obviously. Until next time.